Today's message is fulfilling God's will for your life. Fulfilling God's will for your life. And the subtitle is Persistence. We're kind of at the start still of the new year, 2012. And so today I want to talk about this. Fulfilling God's will for your life. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, as I've said before, you're not on this earth by accident. You have a God-given divine destiny end and purpose. And you may be wondering today, at the beginning of this year, what God is wanting you to do. Has anybody ever been there? God, what are you wanting me to do with my life, short term and then long term? I've been there. How about you? So if you're wondering today, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? I encourage you to come before God in prayer. And as you pose that question to God, God, what are you wanting me to do? That question in itself is a prayer to God. And if you pray that to God, God will speak. You've got to hear His voice. Several weeks ago, we talked about hearing the voice of God. And as you pray to God, as you have your personal times with God, as you're talking to God, He may reveal to you short term what His goal is for your life. Maybe He wants you to take on a certain job. Or maybe He wants you to save a certain amount of money for the year. Maybe He wants you to pursue a certain course of education. Maybe a technical degree, welding, whatever it might be. Maybe He wants you to begin a relationship with a certain person. Or maybe He wants you to take a certain course to overcome an addiction in your life. It's a short-term goal that God may have for you. He may have a long-term objective and goal for you as well. And I know He does for all of us. And so you can hear God's voice on that course He has for your life. You can hear God's voice and you can start on that course. Maybe applying for that certain job and filling out applications. Maybe starting to save that money. Maybe obtaining that education. Maybe beginning that relationship. So you've heard from God and God has told you to do such and such and you start the course. But the question is this. Here's the question today. Will you finish the course that God has ordained for you? Will you finish and achieve the goal that God has spoken to you? See, as you pursue that job and fill out those applications or work a certain job to save some money up or pursue a degree or begin that relationship, some tough times may come as you're pursuing God's goal for your life. Low times, valley times may come across your life as you're pursuing the thing that God is wanting you to pursue. Is that making sense? It's not always going to be easy as you're pursuing the goal that God has for you. And I saw a quote recently and I wrote it down and it says this. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. That's good, isn't it? As you pursue that goal, that thing that God has for you, that course of action, storms may arise. And you may feel like quitting. But life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain, learning to dance in that storm. Is that good news? So today I want to talk about persistence. What is persistence? What is persistence? Anybody have any ideas? Being steady, that's right. Persistence is not quitting when the storm arises. In other words, persistence is this. When the going gets tough, the persistent ones continue on. When the going gets tough, the tough in God keep going. You don't quit, you don't give up on that goal, fulfilling that goal and that course that God has for your life. Is that making sense? Billy Graham, in the book called Billy Graham in Quotes, says this on commitment. Satan doesn't need for us to fall into gross sin in order to defeat us. A large dose of laziness will do the trick just as well. Put Christ first in your life and then commit every hour of the day to Him. So if we're going to fulfill what God is calling us to fulfill, we cannot be lazy, right? We've got to work hard. The good four-letter word in the Bible, as believers, is W-O-R-K. It is the good four-letter word. And as you work towards that thing that God is wanting you to do, and it gets tough, and you feel like quitting, you tell yourself, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to quit, because my eyes are on the prize at the end of the race. Is that making sense today? Is that good news? He still flies.
All the way to the top.
The eagle flies all the way to the top. Even when
God wants to be like the eagle to fly, God's throne can come.
Yes. That's good. Got to be like the eagle. We've got to have that second-hand quality. You might have heard this before. The second-hand quality. The second hand on a watch, on a clock, does what? What does a second hand do? Tick, tick, tick. It does what? All right. It ticks 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. As long as it's got a good battery in there, that second hand in that watch will tick 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day. You can take that watch and go into a really cold atmosphere outside on a really cold winter's day, and guess what? Doesn't matter what's going on around that watch, it's still going to tick consistently 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day. You can go into an atmosphere where there's a lot of yelling and commotion with that watch on your wrist, and guess what? That second hand keeps ticking consistently. It does not quit. It does not give up. Is that making sense today? We've got to have that second hand quality. It doesn't matter what's going on around you in your life. You've got to keep on ticking consistently to fulfill the goal, the end, the course of action that God has spoken to you for your life at this time in your life. Amen? Say it with me. I'm going to have that second hand quality. Ticking consistently, without quitting, without giving up, in the thing that God has called me to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got this this email just recently. It's pretty cool, and it says this. The author is unknown. I'd like to tell you about two frogs who jumped into a bucket of cream on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. Now, you might wonder what two frogs and a bucket of cream have to do with this, with the exciting world in which we live. But if you'll just bear with me, I believe you will get the idea. May as well give up, croaked one frog after trying to get out without success. We're goners. Keep on paddling, said the other frog. We'll get out of this mess somehow. It's no use, said the first. It's too thick to swim, too thin to jump, and too slippery to crawl. We're bound to die sometime anyway, so it may as well be tonight. His friend kept on paddling and paddling and paddling, and by morning he was perched on a mass of butter which he churned all by himself. There he was with a grin on his face, eating flies that came swarming by from every direction. That little frog had discovered what most people choose to ignore. If you stick with a task long enough, you are going to be a winner. That little frog discovered the secret ingredient, persistence. That makes the point pretty well, doesn't it? Persistence, not giving up when the going gets tough. I'll read you a couple of other things from the speaker's quote book here. The speaker's quote book. In a tall chestnut tree, William Carey spied a bird's nest that he greatly coveted. He climbed and fell, he climbed again and fell again. He climbed a third time, and in the third fall, he broke his leg. A few weeks later, while the limb was still bandaged, his mother left him for an hour or two. When she returned, he was sitting in his chair, flushed and excited, with the bird's nest on his knees. Hurrah, mother, I've done it at last. Here it is, look. You don't mean to tell me you've climbed that tree again. I couldn't help it, mother, I couldn't. Really, if I begin a thing, I must go through with it. Another one. Pay as little attention to discouragement as possible. Plow ahead as a steamer does. Rough or smooth, rain or shine, to carry your cargo and make port is the point. That's good, right? So who's our best model for persistence, not quitting, in the midst of difficulties? In the Bible. Who's our best model? The greatest model. Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus knew what God's ultimate course and goal was for his life. When he walked this earth, for 3 years he ministered. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He healed the sick. He delivered the demon oppressed and possessed, right? But what was his ultimate goal from God the Father? What was the ultimate course that God the Father had for Jesus, God the Son? to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world so that by faith in Jesus, we would have eternal life in heaven. Right? So we would all agree that God's ultimate course for Jesus was the cross, right? And guess what? Jesus, in his humanness, he was fully God and fully man. But in his humanness, he felt like quitting. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26, if you got a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He knew that the cross was shortly coming, right? Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as you will. What cup was Jesus asking the Father to take from him? The cup of suffering, right? Verse 40 of Matthew 26. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So Jesus, in his humanness, wanted to give up on the ultimate course God had for his life, right? The crucifixion, the cross. But he didn't quit. He kept on going, right? He persisted. And because he persisted, you and I today are saved. We are in the kingdom of God, going to heaven one day. That's good news. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus persisted. He is our model for everyday living. If we're truly followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, we must make Jesus our model in every area of life. And Jesus is the greatest model in the area of persistence, not quitting, not giving up when the storm arises, in pursuing the course that God has for your life. Is that making sense today? Let me read you another story from the speaker's quote book. It's about Roger Babson. And it says this. A lad saw a want ad in a small Massachusetts paper asking for a young man to assist the office manager of a brokerage house in Boston. Applications were to be mailed to Box 1720 in Boston. The young man wrote the best letter of application he knew how. When no reply came, he wrote a second letter. Still no reply. Though discouraged, he did not quit. He rewrote his letter, changing the wording, improving the construction. Still he received no reply from his third letter. The lad knew that success required persistence. So he took a train to Boston, went directly to the post office and asked, who rents Box 1720? The clerk replied that to give out such information was against the law. The boy hunted for Box 1720, then waited hours until someone came. He followed the person to one of Boston's largest brokerage houses. When the manager heard his story, he said, my young friend, you are just the type we are looking for. The job is yours. Thus began the career of Roger Babson, one of America's illustrious statisticians. That's persistence, isn't it? That is persistence. That's the quality that we're to have in Jesus' name. I want to read just a couple of more quotes here from the same book on persistence and perseverance. It says this, extraordinary people are most often ordinary people with extraordinary determination. The difference between the impossible and the possible lies in a person's determination. A small boy was learning to skate. His frequent mishaps awakened the pity of a bystander. Sonny, you're getting all banged up, he said. Why don't you stop for a while and just watch the others? With tears rolling down his cheeks, the boy looked at the man and then at his skates and answered, mister, I didn't get these skates on to give up on. I got them to learn how on. Mister, I didn't get these skates to give up on. I got them to learn how on. Our greatest joy is not in never falling, but rising every time we fall. So Those are good illustrations there, quotes on persisting, persevering, and not giving up. Amen?
Amen?
Now, how do we persevere? How do we not give up on the course that God has given to us? How do we persevere on that course? When you start that course of action that God has for your life, when you start pursuing the goal that God has for you and it gets tough, how do you keep going? For instance, if God is telling you to take a certain type of job, if He wants you in a certain industry, maybe roofing, maybe concrete work, maybe landscaping work, maybe He wants you to be a welder, right? And God is telling you, I want you to get a job in this certain area, right? And you start filling out applications, right? And you get no responses. Do you just quit when you don't get a response from a prospective employer? No, right? What do? You keep filling out applications. Even when it's hot out there, you go from job site to job site, fill out applications until you land an interview, right? Is that good? That's in just that area of trying to find a job. But how do we go about practically persevering, persisting, not quitting when the going gets tough? How do we do it? Anybody have any ideas? A faith, that's good. Anybody else? Say it again. Okay, that's good. All right, let's look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame. So again, He's saying that who's to be our model in persisting, in persevering, in not quitting? Who's to be our model? Jesus. Now, Jesus in the garden wanted to give up. We just read about that, right? But the writer of Hebrews says that He didn't give up. Why? Hebrews 12:2. Because He endured, He persisted to the cross. Why? Because of the joy set before Him. The joy set before Jesus. What was the joy set before Jesus? Anybody have any ideas? His brother got it. Us. We were the joy set before Jesus. Jesus had His eyes on the finish line. He had His eyes on the prize. He had His eyes on the joy that was set before Him. The joy that was set before Him was you and me one day being in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's all worth it for these people that My Father has created. It's all worth it for Me to go to the cross that these people one day will be saved by My work on the cross and by their faith in Me, right? So Jesus saw the joy. He saw you and me being saved one day. And as a result, He was able to endure the cross, persist the cross. He was able to go on with it without quitting and without giving up. Is that good? And friends, it's got to be the same with us. If Jesus is our model for everyday living and God is giving you a certain course, if He's giving you a goal to pursue, you've got to keep your eyes on the prize as well. And if you can keep your eyes on the finish line, you can finish the race that God has cut out for you. Is that making sense today? Anybody here ever run a 5K, 3 miles? It's pretty tough sometimes, right? A marathon is even much more difficult. But you know what you got to do to run a 5K or a marathon? What is it that you have to do? You've got to train, but at the same time, you've got to keep your eyes on the finish line. You've got to focus at something in the distance, be it a car. And once you reach that car, you look for a restaurant sign and you focus on that restaurant sign. And when you pass the restaurant sign, you focus on a tree in the distance. And once you pass that, you just keep going and going until you get to the finish line. And the further you go on that race, the closer the finish line becomes. You can start seeing that finish line. And though you're hurting on the inside, though you feel like quitting and stopping and sitting down right there, you keep on persevering. You persist. You keep running because the finish line is right in the near distance. Your eye is on the prize. Is that making sense? So, friends, you've got to have your eye on the prize. And if God has told you to pursue a certain job and you get no response back from prospective employers, don't quit. Just keep it on the inside. You know what? I've got my eyes on this job that God says I should get. I am going to get it. I have hope on the inside. And when you have that hope on the inside and your eyes on the prize, you're not going to give up. Is that making sense? If God has told you to go through with a certain educational course and it gets tough and you have to stay up late at night, you don't feel like waking up in the morning to go to class, guess what? Keep your eye on the prize. I am going to receive a diploma in this school. And if you can keep your eyes on that, on the diploma, guess what? Even though it gets tough, even though you get tired, even though you feel like quitting and giving up, you will persist. Is that making sense? Just like Jesus. Jesus, in his humanness, felt like quitting, but he had his eyes on you and on me. Amen? And because he did, he didn't quit. He went through with the cross. And those who have faith in him are now saved. That's great, isn't it? All right, so if it gets tough, if the storm arises as you're pursuing God's goal for your life, keep your eye on the prize. And number two, and most really important, is to pray to God. In your weakness, God will be manifested. His strength will be manifested in your weakness. Is that making sense now? One last scripture, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians Chapter 12. Paul received these incredible visions from the Lord, and he was taken up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. And in verse 7, he writes this. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul got weak at times, right? But what did he do? He cried out to God, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When you get weak, cry out to God. He will give you his grace, his strength to carry on, to persist, and to not give up. Amen? I tell you, if you pray to God, I guarantee you that God will respond to your prayer. He will respond to your prayer. He will answer that prayer. All right? So keeping your eye on the prize and crying out to God like Paul the Apostle did. Amen? Amen? Friend, I don't know what it is that God has for your life. Only you know it. Only God knows it. But God has got something special for you this year. Job-wise, putting money aside, starting a relationship, overcoming an addiction, whatever it might be that God has for you. He's got something for you. An educational course, a ministry course. Maybe you know that God has called you to a certain ministry. Start walking it out and don't quit when the going gets tough, you know. And I've said this before and you've heard it. That the richest place in the world is where? Graveyard. Where is it? Graveyard. The graveyard. Why?
No, we got some out of cash in here.
There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People that should have written books that never did. People that God had called to start Christian universities in other countries that never did. People that should have become doctors and nurses going to the mission field for God that never did it. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. And could it be that these people never fulfilled God's potential for their life because they quit? They gave up when the going got tough? Could it be? I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? Say it today. I do not want to be another graveyard statistic. In Jesus' name. In order not to be another graveyard statistic, friend, we have got to persist. We have got to persevere by crying out to God, by praying to God, and by keeping our eyes on the finish line, on the prize. Amen? Friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got something for you to do. Don't leave this earth without fulfilling God's will, God's course for your life. Don't do it, because we'll all stand before God one day and he is going to ask us, why didn't you do what I called you to do? When I stand before God, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How about you? All right. Persistence is a very necessary component of fulfilling what God has called you to do. Amen. And don't give up. Don't quit. persevere in Jesus' name.